Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's come to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for His blessing upon our time together. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, I want to thank Thee that we can come before Thee in prayer. And Father, while Thou art the one who is the true and the living God, and while Thou art holy, 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 and in and of ourselves we are nothing but sinners, all our righteousnesses, all our good works are but filthy rags in Thy sight, yet Father, I do thank Thee that we can come before Thee in prayer. Not because of who we are, what we have done, but because of Thy beloved Son, an only begotten Son, whom Thou didst send to live a perfect life in our place, and then to die on that cross, taking upon Himself our sin, and paying the debt in full, rising again from the dead, and ever living to make intercession for us. I thank Thee, Father, that because of Him, because of what He has done, because of the debt that He paid, because of the perfect life that He lived, that we can come to Thee in His name. And Father, we are accepted in Christ. Father, I want to thank that all who put their trust in Christ, Lord, become Thy children. And Father, Thou dost love us with a perfect love, with an infinite love, and with an eternal love. And I pray, Father, therefore, that as we will come to the reading of Thy Word, and then the preaching on it, that Thou wouldst be pleased to pour out Thy blessing in a very real way. Oh, Father, have a word in season for every single one, from the youngest to the oldest, that is here and that is listening to the message. Father, pour out Thy blessing. May we go away changed after hearing Thy word. Be with the Reverend Omrod as he will come to preach. Father, give him great help bring to his mind all that you'd have him to say, and glorify the name of Christ. Encourage those who are thy children, and those who are still lost, Father, I pray, save them by thy grace. Draw them to Christ. And Father, may they know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. For Lord, this is life abundant, and this is life eternal. In Jesus' name, on his merits alone, we ask all these things. Amen. If you could turn, please, in the living word of God to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 116, and verse 1, the psalmist declares, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to every heart. I want to sing a second hymn. It is the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise.
Thank you. It's good to be with you this day to bring to you once again the word of the Lord. We do thank the Reverend Foster for leading to this point. I want to direct your attention in this time together to the verse number 7 of Psalm 116, verse number 7. The word of the Lord says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." I want to look at this verse with you under the simple heading, Christ's mercy to the backslider. Christ's mercy to the backslider. But perhaps we could have just a moment's prayer to seek the Lord's face. Father in heaven, with thy word open before us, we pray that thou wilt come and speak to each and to every heart. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit as we break forth the bread of life, that thou wilt come and minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a difference between an aeroplane and every other form of transportation. You think of walking, horseback, bicycle riding, motorbike, car, train, boat, and even the great cruise liners all can come to a complete standstill without any danger. They can even go backwards. Many of them have that reverse gear, and even as we walk, as we cycle, we can go backwards without any fear of any danger. But if an aeroplane was to come to a complete stop whilst flying in the sky, there is going to be a great problem. It's going to fall out of the sky. Everyone is going to be in great danger. And indeed, there is no reverse gear with a plane. For it to be pushed back from the airport terminal, there has to be that vehicle there to push it. There is many similarities, therefore, with the Christian. The only safety for an airplane is to go forward. The only safety for a child of God is to go forward, and indeed, to go upwards. If a Christian stops, or if a Christian begins to slip and to go backward, that moment he or she is in danger. You know, backsliding is a very real danger for each and for every Christian. It's very easy to take our eyes off the Lord. It's very easy to get caught up in what is going on in the world and what is going on in our lives, that we can look to the left, we can look to the right, and our eyes can slip, our eyes can be taken off the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the Apostle Peter, that wonderful time whenever he had that faith to step out of the boat, and the Lord standing in the midst of the storm, and Peter's eyes are upon the Lord. And he's watching the Lord, and he's taking those steps of faith, one after another, across those waves. But then the storms come up, and the waves and the wind is boisterous, and Peter's eyes are taken off the Lord. And he looks to the left, he looks to the right. And he begins to sink. You know, perhaps I'm speaking to one in this meeting. If you're honest before God, your walk and indeed your relationship with the Lord is not what it should be. You've grown cold. You've grown distant from the Lord. You're in a backslidden state. My message to you this evening is very simple. Christ loves you. And Christ has mercy for the backslider. After all, Jeremiah 3 in the verse 14, it tells us that he is married to the backslider. I want us to look at this verse 7 in Psalm 116. I want us to see two wonderful realities that are found in this verse. Firstly, I want you to see that there is a sanctuary to return to. There is a sanctuary to return to. The opening part of the verse, number 7, it says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." There is a place for every Christian to feel safe and secure in. And indeed, there is only one place. And that place is the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of that time whenever the Lord was speaking, and he speaks of himself as that sanctuary, and he uses that simile that as the hen gathereth the chicks and brings those chicks under the wings of the hen, so too is the protection, so too is the sanctuary there for the Christian. Deuteronomy 33 in the verse 27 says there, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." I want you to see from this verse, number 7, that it is a personal sanctuary. It is a personal sanctuary. The psalmist, he says, "Return unto thy rest." It is exactly what every individual believer needs. Just as salvation and the regeneration of one's soul is particular to that individual, so too is the sanctuary, so too is the blessing of having that presence and that relationship, that fellowship with the Lord. And so too is the rest that the Lord provides. It is particular to your very needs in your life. Whatever trial is upon you, whatever hardship you may find yourself in, it is there for you exactly as you need it. He knows everything about you. Our Lord Jesus, He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly your trials and your struggles. He knows your downsitting. He knows your uprising. He is the shepherd who leads you beside the still waters. He is the shepherd that takes you to those green pastures. It is that personal sanctuary for your soul. Not only is it a personal sanctuary, but I want you to see it as a peaceful sanctuary. Look again at the verse that says, "Return unto thy rest." The sanctuary of the Lord is a quiet and a tranquil state. You consider again Peter, as we mentioned earlier, in the midst of the storm. When he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink into the waves. And you can imagine that time. Peter is there, he's going down, his mind is racing, his heart is racing. The legs, the arms, they start to flail about. And he's concerned, that worry, that panic, that fear is gripping into him. And he cries out unto the Lord and he says, "Lord, save me." The Lord takes him by the hand, he pulls him up out of the waves. And they go together back to the boat. And what does it tell us? That whenever Peter and the Lord are back into the boat, there's calm. The waves have died down. The storm has dissipated. And there is the Lord Jesus, the one who is the only one to calm and to bring those storms to an end. And the Lord is that one who can, even in the midst of the storms of life, He has the power to calm our fears. He has the power to calm everything around about us. He is the one who gives us that peaceful sanctuary. And I want you to also see it is a protected sanctuary. It is a protected sanctuary. This is why the psalmist refers to it as rest. Such is the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we do not fear and we do not worry of being overcome. His protection makes the sanctuary greater than any castle. His protection makes the sanctuary stronger than any fortress. And what is the protection that gives us that rest and peace? It is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing stronger, there's nothing more powerful than the blood of the Lamb. You think of that time in the land of Egypt, in the book of Exodus, whenever the angel of death is coming, and the Israelites were told, sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, and use it there. And whenever the angel of death came, he never touched one who was under and inside the blood. The blood of that lamb is there to symbolize the protection that was found. And just as the protection was there in the physical sense, so too the protection is there in the spiritual sense, for each and every Christian. You think of those words that are found in Revelation 12 and verse 11. It highlights to us that the protection of the blood, it overcomes even our greatest adversary. Revelation 12 and verse 11, it tells us that they overcame him, that's speaking of the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Backslider, there is a wonderful sanctuary to return to. There is a wonderful place that you can have that is personal to you, that peaceful sanctuary that passeth all understanding. And I want to ask the question tonight, will you not return? Backslider, will you not come back to the Lord, to that peace, to that personal sanctuary, to that protection that is found for you? I want you to see then, secondly, not only is there a sanctuary to return to, but the second half of the verse, it highlights that there is a Savior to rejoice in. There is a Savior to rejoice in. The second half of verse 7, it says, "For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." God's name represents God's character. And the character of God the Father is found completely in God the Son. You think of the words of Hebrews 1 and verse 3, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person." Our Savior is gracious. Our Savior is righteous. Our Savior is compassionate. Our Savior is powerful. Let me encourage you this evening, consider where you were before the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. Consider the state that you found yourself in. Consider everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and continues to do for you. The Savior is loving. You look at what the psalmist says in the verse 8. He has said those words in verse 7, "The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee," and then he gives the illustration. He gives the examples of how good the Lord is. The Lord is loving. Why? "Because thou hast delivered my soul from death." Remember where you were before Christ saved you. Remember how far gone you were before the love of the Lord Jesus Christ was extended to you. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. You were heading to hell for the eternal punishment of the Lord upon you for those sins that you committed in your life. You were heading to hell for eternal damnation to pay for your sins. But yet the Lord Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you. He left the splendors of glory. He came down into this world. He lived a life of perfection, and he willingly laid down his life upon that cross. He gave up everything to come and to redeem you. He endured the punishment that was due to you in order that he could bring your soul from death. There is no greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, and that he lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior who is loving. He gave himself for you. I want you to see also, not only is the Savior loving, but he's long-suffering. You look again at the words of the verse number 8. It says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death," but then read on. It says, "Mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." The Lord is willing to wipe away every tear. Every time that we fail and let the Lord down, every time that we fall into sin or we grow cold and we grow backslidden and we grow and move away from the Lord and we try to run back to the world, but yet the Lord is long-suffering. He's willing to wipe away every tear. He's willing to take you back every time. He's standing with those arms outstretched. You think of that picture of the father of the prodigal son. There he stood day after day, longing, waiting for that son to return. And when the son returns and he sees him a very far distance off, and yet the father, he recognizes his son, even though he's completely changed because of the sin and the lifestyle that he's had. But yet the father knows his son, and he runs to him, and he hugs him, and he holds him, and he takes him back. He's long-suffering. He'll wipe away every tear. He's also long-suffering because in the verse 8 it tells us he keeps our feet from falling. We'll never be lost. That's a wonderful truth. That's a wonderful joy for every Christian, that when we are saved, we will never lose our salvation. Yes, sadly, we may stumble, but we can never fall back into the horrible pit or into the miry clay. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. The Lord Jesus Christ will keep us forever. Therefore, I encourage tonight, child of God, rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in your Savior. Rejoice in his love. Rejoice in his mercy. Backslider tonight, I encourage you, consider the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. Take your eyes off the world. Fix them again upon the Lord. Fix them upon his love, his mercy, his care. Why will you not then return to the sanctuary that is waiting for you? You think of those words that are found in Revelation 3:20. Many times they're used in the gospel. Many times they're used to highlight to the sinner to open that door to Christ. But in reality, that verse is given to the backslider. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Backslider, will you come back? We return to that sanctuary that the Lord is willing and ready to give. That personal place for you. That special place. That powerful place, that protected place. Will you not return and enjoy once again the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The sweet communion with Him. That joy that you'll have. That joy that passeth all other joy. You know, the reality is, the backslidden state, there is no joy. There's no happiness. But yet in the Lord, there's full peace. There's full joy. There's full contentment. Will you not return? Will you not come and enjoy the blessing of the Lord again? Will you not just simply think upon the Lord and rejoice in His mercy, rejoice in His love? Fix your eyes upon the Savior and just consider Him afresh. Everything that He's done and everything that He continues to do, will you not return? Let's have a moment's prayer as we close. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for who He is. We do rejoice that He is the eternal Son of God, only begotten of the Father. We thank Thee for that day and hour when He entered into time itself. He came down into this world and He went to the cross and He paid that debt for our sin. We do rejoice this night that He paid it in full. There's nothing left for us to bear. We thank Thee for the provision that He has made, that full salvation in Christ. We do rejoice in the sanctuary that the Lord has given to His people. We do rejoice, O God, that it is personal to each and to every one. And we pray that if there be any backslidden that have grown cold, that have sought to stray and to wander back to the world, we pray this night that they will return to that sanctuary. They will enjoy once again that sweet communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do rejoice in our Savior, the love that He has, the long-suffering that He has for us, His children. And we do pray, O God, that Thou wilt write Thy word upon our hearts. Encourage us through Thy word each and every time we read it, and each and every time we hear it preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.